Blog Talk Radio.
Show, a ministry embracing widows. This is Mary Hollis, your host, and I hope that you had a wonderful week. I hope that you also enjoyed Elder Davis, Carla Davis, the month of July. She blessed us and also blessed me because she gave me the opportunity to take some time off and allow her to be on the show and just tell her, tell us about her wonderful new release book. And also, she prayed for us the last night of the show of July, and it was wonderful. I hope that you had your prayer request written on a paper or card, and just hold on to those prayer requests. Put it in your Bible. Put it in a safe place in your Bible, those prayer requests. There's places like Psalms 23, 40th, and pretty much anywhere that you feel a scripture that means a lot to you, put it in the Bible and leave it there, because God does a miraculous thing, and we just have to believe that He will answer our prayer. So don't throw those prayer requests away. Just put it in a safe place in your Bible. Well, I have mine all over my altar. I have an altar in my, I have a master bath, and I have some steps that goes into my garden tub. And I have all of my prayer requests. Pretty much I have another Bible all there, and I put my prayer requests on my, that's my altar. So I added my index card of the prayers that I was praying for different people. I put it on my altar. So, and I have, I not just pray for me and my family or the widows. I pray for my neighbors. I pray church members, anyone I come in contact with that needs prayer. I have different prayer requests on my altar. And I continue to pray for those prayer requests and asking God to help those, you know, to bless those situations, for healing, for whatever situation that person might be in. So just knowing that God is able, just like I mentioned, that prayer is power and it changes things. It doesn't matter what, how difficult your particular situation may seem. God is your present in the time of trouble. He can make a difference and pray without ceasing. So please don't get rid of those paper and an index card. Put it in a safe place in your Bible and continue to know that God will supply your need and also answer those prayers that you had Elder Carla Davis to pray for last Tuesday. And we just thank her again so much for being a part of our talk show, and she blessed us really, and also she will probably return back sometime soon and be on our air again. And like I say, we hope that she will be successful in selling her new release book and well, I am going to go into some inspirational moments that I have, God has put on my heart to talk about tonight. And but what I wanted to start off first, talking about the ministry. This next chapter, Widows Ministry, embracing widows, and like I said, we embracing widows and anyone else who have lost a loved one. This ministry was put together by God, by two ladies that God gave their vision, that's Sheila Coley, the president, and myself. And I am passionate about doing God's will and making, continue to do what he wants us to do in this ministry. And the purpose of this ministry is to exemplify love to widows through regular encouragement and information about the many decisions of the first 3 years. And our scripture read, honor widows that are widows indeed. That's coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. Also wanted to mention about some quotes. One reason why Sheila and I picked the talk show at night, because many times when you are going through this journey of grief, you can't sleep at night. So we wanted to have this. Once, when we first started, it was at 11 o'clock, and that was good for some, and it was late for others. And so we were able to change it to 10 o'clock. The more, the prime time is more expensive. So we have to pay for this show, by the way. So it's costly for prime time. So that's one of the reasons why we got it at 10 o'clock. And then we used to have it at 11, but that was pretty late for me as well, too, because many times I was sleepy and tired and fell asleep before the show came on. So 10 o'clock does work better for me, and I hope it works better for you as well. And like I say, talking about sleeping, a lot of times when you're going through a lot of emotions or situation that you're dealing with, you cannot sleep, you toss and turn. So we felt that this was a good time also to be on the air for you and giving you some inspirational vitamin information, information that will service you in many ways this time of evening. And maybe that'll help you to, at least when you go to sleep with some good thoughts, food for the soul that God has put together for me to talk about. So I hope that you continue to be a part of our show and invite others as well. I want to mention also some of the things that emotionally thoughts and feelings that some of the widows do go through, and things like this: oh, I miss him so much. Sometimes I just don't want to be alone, especially at night. So those feelings makes you not wanting to go to sleep, able to go to sleep at night. So we are hoping that this 30-minute talk show does bring some encouragement and comfort to your heart. Another quote was, I wonder sometimes if I would ever feel good on the inside again. Yes, you will. It takes time. It takes one day at a time. But in due season, you'll know that you will begin to feel better. You'll begin to talk about your loved one easily without crying, getting emotion. And you'll see that from time to time, and you know that you're getting better because you're able to talk without the tears that's flowing down your face. Another quote, it's been over a year, and people expect that I should just be over them, but I still have moments when I cry. Now, people sometimes can be very selfish. Sometimes they're very hurtful of things that they say, and some of them don't know any better. They think that what they're saying is a comfort word of comfort to you, but most of the time it really is not, because there's no particular time. There's no right or wrong, a number of time that you should get over the loss of your loved one, your spouse, your son, your daughter, mother, whoever it is. I mean, it takes time. Everybody is different, each individual. And if you still feel like crying, cry. Cry, but one day God will dry up those tears. Next one is, it is still difficult to go out with other couples, even when it is it's my sister and her husband. There's always an odd number. Now, I had difficulty with that, and I'm going to share something with you about that. I didn't have a problem as far as couples. Well, I did not go out to special events with couples, like dinner with couples, or with a concert or something romantic. I would never really go out in that setting because I know it didn't make me feel good. But I did travel with a group for spring break every year, and I was the only one in the group that did not have a spouse, and it bothered me at times on the trip, even though I had fun. As long as my kids had fun, I had fun, but I felt something at times where when all the kids were able to, you know, go back to their dad or mom and say, Mom, Dad, da-da-da, they did, you know, what they were doing. Or even their dad won them a beer or something from one of those machines, you know, you put, it's like playing basketball and stuff, and you win different toys and stuff. Well, those times I did feel unhappy because I didn't have anyone there at the time to do the same thing for my children. But I still, you know, enjoyed the spring break every time because we had so much fun. But that, it was those moments where, you know, I was a bit sad. So, but in times like this year, we all get over it. We all get stronger through our journey of grief. It is hard seeing couples together. I remember when my husband and I used to spend time together. It is very difficult for you to go out who have lost a spouse, to go out and see couples holding hands, walking down the street holding hands, or smooching, or even sitting together when you're sitting there alone. Yes, all of those emotions comes back, and you wish that your husband were there. So, yeah, those are times that you do feel alone. And here's another one. It bothers me when people tell me how strong I am. I am just trying to make it through the day and prove anything. Now, let me give you something that happened to me. People said those things, that statement to me all the time when I first lost Al, and they thought I was so strong. I had a neighbor. Their neighbor lost. Husband passed, and she was very emotional going through it, really wasn't dealing with it well. Now, I think it was less than a year, could have been less than 6 months. And I know it was less than a year. They came to me and said, so and so is really having a rough time. Could you go over there and talk with her? Maybe, you know, you'll be able to help her or get through it better or feel better. Because now they thought I was strong. They thought, you know, just you see, you can talk to a person or be around a person, don't always be falling apart or whatever or be sad. But when you get alone, you feel better. You know, you feel you have those emotions. So they thought that I was, you know, I guess I was a rock. I didn't think I was, but I was obedient. I went over there and talked with her. And even though it may have helped her, it was hurting me inside because I was beginning to feel those feelings, those initial feelings when I lost, you know, when my husband passed. But I went ahead and did it anyway, and, you know, she felt relieved in some way because another widow was talking to her. And she knew that I felt, that I knew how she felt. So that helped her in a sense of comforting her because no one she felt that came there during that time knew how she felt, and I did. So it did help her, but at the same time, it helped me some ways that I knew that I helped her, but and when I went home, I was sad. Because I had to go through those emotions, helping her through her moment. So these things, people can people say things they don't know and they don't understand until they go through it. So to me, I was still raw, fresh in my loss, and I had to go out and help someone else that just lost their spouse. I did it because I felt that it would help her. But at the same time, I was hurting inside as well. So all these different quotes and where people say different things, and they'll say, you should have gotten over it by now. You shouldn't be still grieving. You know, why are you still crying? All those things. I mean, they're very hurtful. But sometimes people don't mean it to hurt you, but what comes out of their mouth is not always good. So I just wanted to go over those quotes because if you are dealing with some of those comments people have said, just knowing that they do care, but the wrong thing comes out of their mouth most of the time when it comes to grief, but they don't know what to say, and they're always saying the wrong thing. So just don't be too feel too bad about that person, because they really do care about you. So I just wanted to go over that when I was looking at my brochure about feelings and comments and quotes and stuff that people say to you and really don't know that it really is hurting you versus helping you. But just know that they don't know. When they go through it, then they can really say, oh, I said that to someone, and I really didn't know how they felt. If you have not had a spouse, you know, you lose your mother, you lose your father, you lose your son, you lose your daughter. But when you have been with a spouse for many years, and pretty much you plan, you're with them because you're planning your life with them, you're doing things on a daily basis with them, cooking and cleaning and working and all that stuff like that. So it's different because you have no one to share those things with, no one to talk about the bills, no one to talk about the children, no one to talk about what we're going to do, where we're going on vacation next year, what we're going to do on our anniversary, are we going to go out of town, are we going to stay here, what we're going to do. Now you have no one, that person. You do have other people to talk other things about, but those personal things, having that person next to you in the bed. I mean, you know one thing? Yes, I still sleep on one side of the bed. The other side of my bed never gets unmade unless Journey or Josiah is in there with me. I sleep on one side. I never have to make up the other side of the bed, only my side, the corner. And for some reason, when I try to push myself over in the middle or on the other side, I don't sleep well. So I sleep right in my little corner, my little space, my comfortable spot. We do things that makes us feel comfortable while we're going through this time in our life. I know it's been 26 years for me. Yeah, it is what it is. I'm comfortable on my side of my bed. And I had someone to say that they had all of the males, they would have males and stuff on the other side of the bed. They would just, when they get new male and something dealing with their husbands and stuff, they would put all the male on one side of the bed. You know, it was halfway. The other side of the bed is hers. But people do different things. It sometimes could be strange, but if that makes them feel good, then that's what you do. You do just that, whatever makes you feel better. But don't let it be where you're grieving, where you're not eating properly, you're not sleeping properly, and it becomes you become ill. It's not healthy. So you do need to be mindful of some things that you do. And eating impulsively and not eating or staying. We have people that stay in their home, don't want to come out, don't want to go out and visit, don't want to be seen because they don't want nobody to talk about their spouse or how you're doing, how you're feeling. No one wants to hear that sometimes, but it's a courteous thing to do. And sometimes we want to shy away from that and don't want to be in other people's presence because we don't want to have those conversations. But get through it in your own way, but just make sure it's a healthy way. And starting in November again, I'm going to have the 8-week grief session again, talking about different ways to deal with the holiday and also just going through the journey of grief. We all deal with it differently. We all feel differently. It hurts differently. We cry more than others. Some people cry less. They just bowl it all inside of them, but try not to do that. Let it out. So whatever way that you are going through your grief, don't think you're crazy, because let me tell you, someone else is dealing with it in the same way that you are. They are walking that same walk just like you. You're going to find someone else is doing some of the same thing, taking the clothes out of the closet. Some of you may have not still got stuff in the closet. Don't want to even look in the closet to see what's in there. Don't want to, you know, you feel safe as long as you got it in the closet, in the drawer, you feel safe that he's still there. You have just different things that we do. Some of you maybe still have clothes and stuff that he wore and still has cologne on it. You still want to smell it. I had one of the stories that in a widow's touch is a widow, when his husband first passed, she would smell, go in the closet and smell his cologne every day. That was comfort to her. That was comfort to her. So if that's comfort to you, it's okay, as long as anything doesn't help, is not unhealthy to you, becomes a problem where your health your health becomes a problem and it's unhealthy to you. So all those emotions, okay, it's normal. It's normal to go through those things. But when you are around people who say things constantly to you, like, do you want, right after the funeral, let me help you take his clothes out of the closet, or her clothes out of the closet, if a widower might be on the line. It is important not to do that right away, because later you'll regret it. I had many widows to regret taking the stuff out of the closet right away. And then later you wanted something that you knew that was in that closet, and but it was gone. So be mindful of that. But it is okay, the things that you're going through. It's normal. You're not crazy. But in time, you'll get the strength to take the clothes out of the closet. I didn't go in the closet until 6 months after Al passed away. And there was a purpose for me to go in that closet. He liked to buy things in bulks in the head. He just loved to shop. He was a shopper and I was not. And when I went in that closet after 6 months, and that was during Christmas time because he died in June, I went in a closet and there were a bag full of toys. Toys that he had bought for the kids. And all I could do was cry because, you know, it was Christmas time. And God led me to that closet that month. And I was able to wrap those gifts for the kids from their father. Most emotional thing that I experienced after the death of my husband, because he had it stored in the back in his closet, and I was so glad that the Holy Spirit led me there, because it made me feel so good that I was able to wrap those gifts up and present them to the kids when they for Christmas, and letting them know that Daddy bought those gifts for them. So, going through for your journey of grief, you're not crazy. Just control some of it, because, like I say, if it's unhealthy, then you need to do something about it. Don't be afraid to get professional help, because sometimes you can't walk this walk alone. And that is all I have for you tonight. Really, to be honest with you, this was not what I was scheduled to talk about. I was going to talk about nurture the word of the Lord. But I think I did in one sense, but it was something totally different. But you know one thing? When God wants you to speak on something, he has his way. He had me to pull this brochure out tonight and talk. One that I am talking to tonight, you're not crazy. But if you need professional help, go and get some, because, like I say, sometimes we can't walk this walk alone. But the next chapter of Widows Ministry is always here for you in any way we can. We will be having our next meeting August the 18th. And we're going to have many new widows that I've been talking to on the phone. They will be coming to our meeting, and I'll be getting with them again to remind them of the date. But just knowing that we are here to walk this journey with you. And our meeting is always from 9 to 10:30. We're probably going to have it from 9 to 11 because we're going to be talking about our 15-year anniversary. Please save that date. Our 15-year anniversary is on September 15 at 9:15 at the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church, where Dr. William E. Flippin Sr. is our pastor. So be there. Write that date down. And this is the end of the show. Be blessed and have a great week. And just knowing that God loves you, and so does the next chapter of Widows Ministry. Good night.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am just let me be who I am today.